Welcome in to the Illini Inquirer podcast. We are just 2 days away from kickoff of the 2026 Illinois Fighting Illini football season. So today it's time to give our bold predictions for the season. Joey Wagner and I break down some potential big goals for the Illini offense, probably a wide range of variety and possibility for the defense, and some potential breakout performers. We put them on paper. We give out our hot takes. How spicy will we be? We'll find out coming up next right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast. Welcome in. It is the Illini Inquirer podcast. It's Jeremy Warder and Joey Wagner. And today we do our bold predictions because we are 2 days away from kickoff of the Illinois football season. Joey, we have wrapped up our media availabilities. Talking season is done. And judging on some of our conversations with the players, especially Matt Bailey, who is probably the front runner for the Lauren Tate Award. Yesterday, you could tell he's just like, get me to the season. I am done with all of this talking. Let's go play some football. And I'm ready to see some football rather than talking about it. But we have one more podcast, or maybe two, before the season starts of looking ahead to the season. But here we go, buddy. You got your bold predictions ready?
I have some predictions ready. I don't know. I kind of felt like I didn't go as bold as I wanted to, so maybe I'll change some of them while we talk. Maybe your predictions will be so bold that I'll be feeling good about maybe trying to ramp that up a little bit. I'm done. You said we might have two. Sounds like you got a solo pod, buddy. I am about done talking about football until we see some football. It's very repetitive, very just a grind at this point to get to the season.
Especially for this team, when we haven't seen very much. We had to knock that one out, had to say it, right, in each podcast. But there's so much new to it all that it's finally going to – I know it's UAB. Illinois is a 28.5-point favorite. But to just see them in action, seeing these guys move around, seeing so many new defensive linemen, linebackers, seeing a new quarterback, seeing this new offensive line, I'm just ready to see some of it in action, and I know they are too.
Yeah, it's time. I don't know how many more – nooks and crannies we can cover and talk about before we see it. And you're right, it's different because there had been so much continuity on this team, on this coaching staff for 2 years. Well, that largely is gone. So there's new faces to learn how they do things, how well they do, how much they struggle, all of those things. And this is probably a story better told after the Southern game when you have at least a Duke game of sample size in there. You can knock out the non-conference, put a clean bow on that, but it will be very good to see football and the big scoreboard that I don't know if you've heard about it, but that's going to be there. We'll be able to check that out, and we're excited for that.
Yeah, see if any of us have seizures from it. Supposed to be like an orange glare or something that they're doing before the game. It'd be interesting to see how they deploy that. But yeah, we have plenty to talk about today. We're live on YouTube. If you're watching us, we appreciate you in the middle of the day. Hit that like button, subscribe, and hit the notifications bell. And pass us on to a friend. And if you don't listen on the podcast, go follow the podcast. It helps us out as well. And I do want to promote this a little bit. We have our VIP free day tomorrow. So anybody has access to all of our VIP content for a day. It's just a teaser, a taster of everything that we have at Illini Inquirer. So take advantage of that on Wednesday, September 2nd. And then after that, we are running our best promo of the year, 75% off a VIP membership, the best deal of the year, more than $90 of savings for your first year of Illini Inquirer access. So take advantage of that. I have a column up right now on Bobby Hauk. Joey's got a story coming out in the Office of Tackles. I have a story coming out on Hudson Clement. And just go back throughout our archive and get ready for the Illini football season. But Joey, before we get to our bold predictions, let's wrap this up a little bit. Bielema had a presser this morning. What'd you learn? Anything new?
No. I learned we knew that Jayshon Platt and Daniel Brown are not going to be available for UAB. Just got to keep asking about those injuries. And Brett Bielema said, not really a timeline. They were both running around a little bit out there. The big thing, they're soft tissue injuries. So that's you're talking hamstring, other things, not breaks, not fractures, not tears. I assume not tears. I'm not quite the MD here. But that helps us to at least understand, okay, and in my brain, I think this might be a Juice Clark situation from a year ago, right? Like his was a hamstring, and it kind of went along. So it just, it helps us to know, not season ending. Doesn't sound like, I would think, half of the season. Even, you never know with some of those, just trying to get a little bit more out of that each and every time. Ethan Machowski sounds like he's the starting kicker, and Lars Rau, who we kind of put in the backseat a little bit for Jack Gray, sounds like he's going to be the starting punter. So I think, Jeremy, that checks off our bingo board of starters on this team, at least, as, unless there's a surprise in warmups.
Yeah, I mean, with the injuries, obviously Mason Moragan steps in at Mike linebacker. With Jayshon Platt out, Braden Trimble would be the starter in 11 personnel. We'll see if they come out in 12 personnel with Caden Fagan and Christian Abney. But yeah, that was probably the biggest starting position battles, and it sounds like they were pretty intense. Chris Hurd said it lasted into last week, and Jack Gray has a load of talent, just hasn't played. So I'm interested. Lars Rau's an interesting story. Outside of me being able to use heavyweights gifts because of Lars, I am excited to see like how much he's improved, because his numbers at Texas State as a freshman weren't that impressive, but he's been here for 2 years. Makes sense that they might go with a veteran. And then Ethan Machowski, the moment he came back, it was kind of knew he was going to be the favorite in this thing. But from what we saw in camp, and we actually got to see a little kicking, Lucas Oseda looked pretty impressive as well. So I think Chow was pushed by Oseda. So that's encouraging that he's won this job and might have a bold take about Chow later on in this thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you got ahead of the curve. The thing that's really probably the bigger news out of Ethan Machowski winning that, Brett Bielema made it sound like he's going to handle kickoffs and PAT's field goals. They had split that up at times during the Bielema era, but it sounds like they're going to come out with Ethan Machowski as that guy in both of those spots. So we do have to say, on Monday, Friday, Brett Bielema said we could see both punters, both kickers. So just keep that in the window. But it does sound like Ethan Machowski, from what I took today, is going to handle both of those jobs.
Which makes sense, because Ethan Machowski's been a great kickoff guy the last 2 years, both at Illinois and Washington. So it makes sense for him to have both of those jobs. It's just sometimes they like to rest a guy if it's kind of even. But Chow obviously has shown that it's not even. All right, that's all I got. Let's dive into the bowl predictions. Let's dive into it. And if you're watching live on YouTube, or if you're watching later on, weigh in with yours. Send us, comment, give us your bold predictions for the year, whether it's a player, about the team. It's good to have that conversation as we go along. Love to hear from you guys. But Joey, let's start. Let's like do a hot ones kind of here. Let's start not too spicy, just kind of a lukewarm take. These kind of have a different variety of bold. Some will be spicier than others, but let's start with I don't know, what do you want to lead off with? One that might be more realistic.
Yeah, I have that Mac Rosetich will lead the team in takeaways this season, and it'll be a bounce back year for the Illinois, is he senior? Illinois fourth year player. Man, they're really high on him. We know he's got good skills and tracking the football. I think this defense is going to set up to be more friendly to get some takeaways. I do, you know, Mac Rosetich mentioned it, Brett Bielema has mentioned it, had a little bit of an injury that he had against Indiana, and I think that just stuck around and led to a year that was really a down year from what we had expectations on for Mac Rosetich last year. So I think he's the guy for me that can – I mean, Xavier Scott is obviously pretty good on the ball, but I'll take Mac Rosetich to get some of those takeaways.
Joey, you kind of – I had something similar. We're both high on Mac Rosetich here. I have Mac Rosetich finishing top five in the Big Ten in interceptions. I think
ooh,
he is set up.
Than mine.
I think he's set up in this defense to make a lot of plays. The one practice we saw, he was around the ball a lot, and I just think we've seen it in his career early on where he does get around the ball and he can take the ball away, and he's got the athleticism and range to do it. And now that we're putting him a little closer to the ball, maybe a little bit more in man coverage, but he'll still be the deep post in a lot of plays. I just think he's set up to have a lot of takeaways. And building on that, Joey, just a team-wide, defensive-wide take, I have Illinois finishing top four in the Big Ten in takeaways on this defense, because that's what they're built to do, right? This is why Bobby Houck was brought in here, was to force some more takeaways and to force more big plays and negative plays. And Illinois wasn't terrible at this last year. We think about it because there wasn't a lot of interceptions, but Illinois was number eight last year in the Big Ten in takeaways, even though they just had six interceptions, had no Xavier Scott for most of the year. I think there's a team that has shown it can force takeaways, and they have a schedule, Joey, where they can get a lot of them. Like there's some quarterbacks who are questionable on the schedule, but Montana was number three in the FCS last year in takeaways. They were 37th in 2024. They were number 10 in 2023. they're bringing a lot of pressure. They're playing a lot of man coverage, Joey. I think they're going to force quarterbacks into tight windows to make plays under pressure. I think they're going to have a really good year of takeaways on defense.
That you're also fumbles you're putting into that just to make sure. Because I swear we didn't exchange many of these before. I think I maybe sent you one or two. I had Illinois finish as top six in interceptions in the Big Ten. So that's going to be somewhere in that 12 to 16 range. I think you're going to see more man coverage. I mean, it's kind of been quietly stated, unstated this offseason. More pressure on the quarterback. You got to get that pressure. But I think Illinois is going to be aggressive in dialing it up. I wouldn't imagine you'll see many of those three-man rushes that put five straight pages on our message board in 35 seconds from people so frustrated about that. You're going to get beat. That's going to be part of this, is you're going to get beat at times, but I think they can get back into that 12 to 16 interception, move into the top third of the Big Ten, and kind of be that equalizer for when some of those tackles break down, when maybe you get burnt in coverage. And I think that can kind of be what this defense becomes this season.
All right, we can't go positive this entire time. We will give some takes that aren't as positive. And can I start us there?
Please.
Illinois will be bottom four in the Big Ten in run defense. That's pretty low. Like, that's being pretty low on them. They were number nine in the Big Ten in rushing yards per game allowed last year and rushing yards per carry allowed. But they have since lost. Gabe Akis, pretty good. James Thompson Jr. on a 53-man roster with the San Francisco 49ers. Tommy Wadurajaye, South Carolina, really wanted him. Paid him some decent money for it. Dylan Rosiak, Eli Coonan, Pat Fitzgerald, paid him some pretty money at Michigan State. Andrew McCollum, paid pretty money at Texas A&M. And you replaced him with a lot of lower-level guys here, Joey. So I do have some issues about what this run defense will be. And I can see this being an issue, especially against the Ohio States and Oregons. I think those are going to be tough games for run defense, but also teams like Iowa. And there's some other Big Ten teams that are really going to interest me in how they're able to slow down the run. So I think they're going to make big plays and negative plays. I also think they're going to give up big plays in the run defense.
Yeah, it's singularly my biggest concern about this defense is holding up against the run, both the scheme, the personnel you have to run that scheme right now. And, you know, I feel like as long as offensive coordinators, opposing offensive coordinators, you can't get bored with it. We saw that with Kansas when Illinois had that massive win in 2024. It's like, sir, why are you not running the ball? I think if the first couple Big Ten games in particular, we'll see what the Duke game looks like. If Illinois looks susceptible to that, I don't know why offensive coordinators would back down from trying to run at this team until they prove otherwise. So that's probably the biggest area of concern I have defensively and maybe team-wide, to be honest with you.
The other number I thought of playing with here, I just didn't know where to set it, Joey, was last year Illinois was number three in the country. This is the best thing they did defensively last year. Number three in the country in plays of 30-plus yards allowed. They didn't give up a lot of big plays, right? They gave up just – they got nickel and dime down the field so often, gave up 10-yard chunks a lot. They gave up 160 10-plus yard plays, but only 13 of 30-plus yards. I don't know what that number looks like, Joey, but I think it's going to be 25 or above.
I had 20.
20?
I had 20 plays of 30 or more yards. It was 13 a year ago. I can bump it up to 25.
Like I think it's going to be double that because 20 would still be top 35 in the country last year.
It's fine. Take it to 25. It's part of it. It's a give and take with this defense. And I think that when it works for this defense and that aggressiveness forces the negative plays that Illinois just didn't have enough, it makes you somewhat able to stomach some of those big gainers a little bit more. But yeah, I think that's going to happen. 25 is right. I'll take that number. Boy, we really are pretty similar in where we're at here.
Too simpatico right now. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We got to split this up a little bit here. I think now positively, how many more negative plays is Illinois going to make? I mean, that's probably also going to be doubled, if not more than that, because I just really believe the scheme is set up to do that. We just talked about the takeaways, but yeah, I mean, you were Illinois fans. Defensively, we're fairly blessed in not seeing a bunch of massive, massive plays last year. The problem was there were a lot of 8-plus play drives where you just got nickel and dimed all the way down the field. And it felt especially, man, it's Washington, isn't it? That's the one you can't shake, or it's like, you've got to get off this football field.
Yeah. The other number you could play with is third down defense, right? If we want to stay on the defense. You did? All right, what do you got there?
I did. I was a little more optimistic about this. I think they're going to improve their third down defense by 6% or more. So that's going to put them somewhere in 38% and middle of the pack in the Big Ten.
Boy, what a blessing that would be if they could do that.
I mean, if you had that under Aaron Henry, you're talking about a far different way you view.
He'd still be here.
And like,
he'd still be here.
6% is not very bold, but I mean, you could even, I don't know that I feel that much, you know, feel comfortable going that much higher than that. Maybe you could talk me into 7 or 8, but that is a significant improvement over what this was. And I think so much of that is going to be the eye test. You're just going to feel like your team has a fighting chance to get off the field on third down. I didn't feel like that. Now, we just talked about the run defense, Jeremy. If you're getting gashed for, you know, 5, 6, 5, 4 yards, you're looking at a bunch of third and shorts because you're struggling to stop the run on first and second, well, then now this is, you know, this flies in the face of that a little bit more. But I think those negative plays are going to set Illinois up, and I think Bobby Houck is going to dial the right pressures to get this team off the field on third down.
I feel a lot better about third and six plus with Bobby Houck, but I'm concerned there's going to be a lot of third and threes, third and twos. Like that. There might be fewer third and sixes. That's what I'm concerned about. All right, Joey, take us wherever you want to go. Get a little spicier here.
All right. Illinois is not going to have a player with 10 sacks, but they're going to have 3 players with 5 or more.
Ooh.
And that would be the first time since 2011 when Whitney Mercilus, Michael Buchanan, and Jonathan Brown each had 5 or more sacks. The way the sacks have been distributed on this Illinois defense have been really, really skewed. It has been a bunch for the top guys. Your Gabe Backus, your Johnny Newton, Keith Randolph in 2022, I think that was. He and Johnny were right there. But otherwise, it had been like 10-8 or 10-7. And then a bunch of like 2s and 3s. And that is, I think you're going to just see that condensed a little bit more to a few guys this season. Joe Barna would come to mind. Whoever is playing the mic would come to mind. Maybe you can throw Pat Farrell in that mix, Matthew Bailey in that mix. But I just think there's going to be some combination of 3 guys who have 5 or more.
All right. I don't want to say all on the defense right now. One of my spiciest takes is about sacks. So we'll do that here in a little bit. All right, I wanted to go a little bolder here, Joey. I'm going to start here, and you might convince me to go a little bolder. One of the Illinois running backs will earn all Big Ten honors this year. I'm talking first, second, or third team. Brett Bielema's only had one of those guys, right? Chase Brown. He's the only guy in the Brett Bielema era at Illinois to get one of those teams. I think one of these guys gets close to 1,000 yards. Not saying he's going to get there, but my hottest take would be, I think it's Aiden Loughery. But I sit there and I go, keep it simple, stupid. Khalil Valentine has been billed as the go-to guy all year. I mean, they're obviously excited about Aiden Loughery. And Khalil's going to get fed a lot. I think he's more likely to get 200 carries or 200 touches just because, one, he's shown he can stay healthy more than Aiden Loughery. But I am high on Aiden. But my cop-out is I think one of those guys gets all big-time honors because I think both of them are capable of it.
Yeah, so the health of Aiden would be the only thing. I was along the lines. I wasn't all Big Ten. That is awfully spicy. I like picking that up. I don't think they're going to have a 1,000-yard rusher, but I think for the first time since 2016, they're going to have 2 700-plus-yard rushers. And I think that was Keyshawn Vaughn, Josh Ferguson at running back. A.J. Bush, Reggie Corbin did it in 2018. As long as they're healthy, I think they can both go over 1,000 yards. It kind of reminds me a little bit of that 21, the way that was distributed. Chase Brown had 1,000-plus yards and Josh McCray had 600. You could just move those numbers a little bit more to feed for probably a little bit more, you know, just kind of keep carries similar between Loughery and Brown.
Kind of what's lost about that 22 season is they did not want to rush Chase Brown 320 times, but Josh McCray got hurt, so they didn't really have another guy.
That's right. So again, Aiden Loughery's got to stay healthy. Does being one of 2 700-yard rushers get you on a top 3 all Big Ten team?
Probably not.
I don't know.
No.
Probably not, but I think
one of them gets over 800. That's why if you're over 800, you're in the conversation for one of those teams, I think.
I'll take that. Now, and when I say that, I don't know, there's a lot of space behind those guys, right? In terms of if you're given one of Loughery or Valentine's going to get 800 plus yards and the other is going to get 700 plus yards, I don't know how many other yards are going to be there to be distributed to Jordan Anderson, Nelson Wheeler, which we saw, and Jabari Barnett. Those comments came in asking about the two freshmen who are clearly in the top five in the running back rotation at this point. So we'll see on that. I think this could be a pretty top-heavy running back room with those two.
All right, my next one. Caden Hauser throws for more touchdown passes than Luke Altmyer did last season. It was 22.
Border with that one.
It was 22 with Luke. That, I mean, that's under two a game. I think Caden can certainly do that. A couple big games would help. But the reason that's a big deal, Joey, that would be top three all time for Illinois, because Kurt Kitner is number one and number two at 27 and 24. I think one of your bold picks was Luke would match Kurt last year, which he was close. But I think Caden Hauser is going to throw for a bunch of yards. I think he's going to need to. And I think there's a lot of confidence that he's going to make some big plays and some big throws. So I'm going to go – obviously, we're a little high on this offense. I think they need to be. But I think Caden Hauser is going to throw probably for more interceptions this year than Luke Altmyer did, but I think he's going to throw for more touchdowns.
I have on my list Hauser and Altmyer, and I was going to try to workshop that as we got going. Maybe I feel compelled to get a little bolder in the predictions. I think touchdowns is far more likely than yards.
Yeah.
I don't really know why. I can't explain that. Luke Altmyer was just a touch over 3,000 yards. 22 touchdowns. I mean, that's, you go 23 touchdowns to pass Luke Altmyer. That's doable. I mean, that's very, very doable. I just wonder, when you get in the red zone and you just let Hauser sneak it, are you comfortable getting the ball to Valentine or Loughery? Can you find creative ways to get, you know, some of those other guys the ball that Jordan don't Anderson. Include a pass from, a pass from Caden Hauser? So that is, I like that. I don't know that I would argue that vehemently against it. I would have pushed back on the yards one. It also, we've talked about this. It is very, like, there's so many more, like, oh, Hauser's going to have, like, we see so much excitement about Caden Hauser. I understand it. It's all fair. By all accounts, it sounded really good. I am just very much on the, not ready to just pass Luke Altmyer. Like, he was one of the best quarterbacks in program history. I'm not comfortable yet just saying, like, oh, yeah, he'll throw more.
Yeah.
He'll have more yards. He'll have more touchdowns. Like, that feels very weird to me, even though logic in the touchdowns makes sense.
See, I'll have one here later that pertains to this. I think he'll get the yards. I think he'll get the production. My question is turnovers, rushing, and how do you perform when the game's on the line? That's where Luke just separated himself. That's where Luke became a legend, right? Like, Luke threw three quarters. Like, his numbers weren't nearly as great. And they were kind of, like, good, not great in the Big Ten. He was elite in the fourth quarter in overtime. And that's where, can Hauser do that, or can Hauser be better than Luke was through the first three quarters? That's what I have questions about.
Yeah, I think those are all fair questions, because Luke Altmyer in the clutch was a competitive advantage for Illinois. And a lot of those wins came from clutch moments from that guy. I'm going to circle back to defense real quickly, if I could. Matthew Bailey, I had to amend this one a little bit. Matthew Bailey finishes top two in the Big Ten in tackles per game.
Ooh, like it.
I need to go per game, because I think you're going to see a lot of game opportunities for Oregon, for Ohio State, and those teams are talented as hell. He's going to have 100 or more tackles in this defense. To be in the top two last year was 9.17 tackles per game. In 2024, it was 11.3, and 9.54 were the top two. The way that they talk about how this defense is set for that guy, and the way that we've seen Matthew Bailey play football, that feels right to me. And I just don't want to go straight tackles, because I think they're going to play 13 games and some other teams are going to play 15 or 16.
I'm kind of right on your bold prediction here, because I wrote one down. Matthew Bailey is just the second Illini of the last decade to top 100 tackles in a season. Do you know who the other one was? I think he led the country. He was number two in the country. Dele Harding had 153 back in 2019.
Red Box Bowl year.
Yeah. And I think
the other leading tackle played for Cal.
Yeah, the Cal guy. I'm going to go even bolder, Joey, and it's right on your kind of average there. I said he'll top 120 tackles. for the season. So if that's 13 games, 9.17 or whatever it would be right there. Why? Serve it up, Buttercup. It was the quote of the offseason for me. Matthew Bailey and this defense playing that chief role, which was the Lobo role that Brian Urlacher played. He's basically right behind the linebackers. He's all over the field. Everything is funneled towards him, and he's going to make a ton of plays. I was glad he talked about Robbie Houck yesterday, Bobby's son, who played the same role at Montana. And that guy had, 500 tackles in his four seasons at Montana. So I also think, Joey, the negative side of this, I think the defense is going to be on the field a lot, a bit too much. And I think the running backs will get to the second level a bit too much. So I think Matthew Bailey is going to have a lot of opportunities to make tackles.
Yeah, he's probably going to be a pretty busy guy in this defense. We should also talk about why I know Baker has not tried some NIL Buttercup deal with Matthew Bailey. I don't know if there's a quote that we've used from Brett Bielema more than that. Loved since
it.
February.
It was great. It was great.
Awesome.
All right.
Go. Do you want to go?
I want to save. Can we do the spiciest one next? I got to hit a break here.
That was right.
But I want to do our spiciest take coming up next. But first, I want to tell you guys, we are so excited that one of our great sponsors is back. Game Day Spirit is back as a sponsor of the Illini Inquirer podcast. And if you're an Illini fan, then you already know Game Day Spirit is the best place to pick up Fighting Illini merchandise in town and online. And with Fighting Illini Athletics back in full swing, you're due to refresh your Illini wardrobe. GameDaySpirit.com is loaded with fresh Illini gear, including, you can see on the screen here, Final Four gear to commemorate Illini basketball's great run, new Illini football t-shirts, and of course, all the latest NIL gear. You can get merch on any of the 100 plus players on the Illini football roster, including jerseys and shirtsies. Game Day Spirit makes it easy with their amazing product selection and two convenient store locations in town at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town and at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign. You can also shop with them online at 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Now, just for Illini Inquirer listeners as well, they're offering an exclusive discount off your next online purchase with them. So use code GAMEDAY15 at checkout for 15% off your next purchase online at GameDaySpirit.com. That's code GAMEDAY15 for 15% off your next order at GameDaySpirit.com. Brought to you by the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. I was just perusing their stuff, man. There's a lot of cool gear they have at GameDaySpirit.com, so go check that out. All right, Joey Wagner, give me your spiciest take. What do you got? Boldest prediction of the bold.
I need to ask, I have two. Is yours going to be Caden Fagan related?
I do have a spicy Caden Fagan one, but go for it. We can combine it.
I think he's going to have the second most single season receiving touchdowns by a tight end in program history with 5.
That's a low number, but that seems very capable.
It seems incredible. And to be number one, to tie for number one, it'd be 6. So, I mean, we're not talking insane numbers here. Maybe I had to just get spicier than hell with it and say he ties the single season record with 6. We're chasing the Pat Bryant high.
You are.
2024. I had the record book pulled up, and I was searching through that. Like, where can I take some sort of stat? So I'll give Caden Fagan 6. A lot of it is – I've come around quite a long ways on Caden Fagan and his tight end this season. People who regularly listen know that. And I just think Barry Lunney with that guy in the red zone is going to get really, really creative in finding a way to get him the football and let him be a really big, strong, athletic tight end who can find their way to the end zone. I might be a year early, and I recognize that, but the hell with it. Let's do it.
We have come full circle on Caden Fagan to the tight end. We're first thing they're going, oh, this is interesting. This will be fun. And they're like, hey, let's tamp it down. Pump the brakes, people. And now we're sitting there tooting the train. Like, we're the conductors of this thing. I think part of it, Joey, is they kind of need it. They kind of need a receiving threat at tight end with all the wide receiver injuries they have had. My bold prediction, Caden Fagan will have a top 10 receiving season in Illinois history, and that seems by like yeah by a tight end. It doesn't seem like it seems like a big deal, but it's really not. He just has to get over 370 yards. That's 28.5 yards per game. That's not nothing, but that's not insurmountable for a guy like Caden Fagan, who has 300 career receiving yards as a running back at Illinois. So I think with the receiver injury, someone else has to step up as a weapon in the passing game. Brett Bielema told us it a month ago. We didn't understand why. Now we get it with the receiver injuries. They need to run 12 personnel a lot, and I think that can help their run game, but I also think it might be the best way to get your best weapons on the field with Caden Fagan, who's obviously shown himself as a Big Ten playmaker. And like you said, man, I just think Barry Loney's going to get Caden Fagan the ball 2 to 4 times a game, don't you? Like, I don't think that's insurmountable to see Caden Fagan getting 35 to 40 receptions in this offense. That's a high bar, right? Because we haven't seen that a lot from a tight end. But I think this guy's going to play 400-plus snaps.
Yeah, I'm with you on all of that. So Shovel passes feel like an avenue.
This is bold because 370 is a lot, but 300 feels like a very reasonable expectation for him with this offense.
You know, every year, and I'm glad Doug Bouchon brought it up the other day too, I think Caden Hauser, hey, there's a Nike partnership extended, by the way, while doing a live pod on that. Had heard that, been in the works for a little bit now. Every year the conversation is, will this be the year that the tight ends get more? And then you look at the numbers, it's like, these are very, very low numbers to have one of the better tight end receiving seasons in program history. Like, it's very attainable for Illinois, and Caden Fagan is an incredibly impressive athlete. I will say I am surprised that both of us have come full circle on the Caden Fagan
I'm
journey.
Surprised
I
you have.
For sure. Me too. Maybe I've just got caught up in all the offseason conversations, but I also just have, like, Caden Fagan is a really good athlete. And if anyone can be a tight end who's a pass catching first tight end as he learns the nuances of the blocking game, I believe in that guy. And I believe in the staff to help him get there. Jared Elliott seems really, really good at his job, and Barry Loney is really, really smart and getting creative and finding a way to put those guys in the right situations.
Yeah. All right. I'm surprised you've come around to it. All right. My spiciest take. You mentioned sacks. I have not Joe Barna leading this team in sacks, Joey, which I think you would probably predict.
Shut it down.
Yeah. One Mason Moragan leads the Illini in sacks. Spicy. How spicy is that for you?
Very spicy. So, okay.
This is a bold prediction. This is my spiciest one. Listen, I think Joe Barna is the most likely option because he's going to play a bunch of snaps. He's going to be in a defense where he gets upfield a lot. But Moragan is going to be in a big-time pass rushing role in this defense. I know he's listed as a linebacker. I think half the time he's going to be on the edge. He's going to be the other edge rusher on this team along with Joe Barna opposite him. And he's going to blitz a lot all over that defensive line. He can be lined up as a nose tackle some plays. He can be, you know, delayed rushing on here. I just think with no word on Dan, I mean, you got a little bit more out of Brett that Daniel Brown's injury is a soft tissue. Do we have any confidence that guy's going to be on the field or stay on the field? Like, it just hasn't happened in his career every three seasons here. So I'm going with it. I think the Mike gets 5-ish sacks in this defense, and I think Mason Moragan, that's what he was recruited here to do, is to be a pass rusher, and now he's in a defense where, serve it up, Buttercup. He's going to be part of that. Like, he's going to be a big part of the pass rush scheme. I think that's my point here, is that position, I think, is going to be one of the top two pass rushers on this team.
Yeah, I don't think it's so spicy that you have him as more sacks than Joe Barna. I think you're foolish, but I don't think that's the most spicy. I think the spiciest part of your take was what you think Daniel Brown's on-field production is going to be. And I can't, at this point, I don't have enough of a body of work to say you're wrong about his availability. That's been the biggest hurdle for Daniel Brown, has been staying on the field at Illinois. But you are talking about a big leap for Mason Moragan. And I think the defense is, a lot of it is skill set. The way they've raved about him, you have to listen. And you still got to do that in games. But I can't get all the way there yet because I still
haven't seen it.
Believe it or not, you've seen all of the texts where I'm complaining about endless things. Have a little bit of optimism in my body, and I just don't feel like Daniel Brown is going to be out long enough for Moragan to displace him like that. But I say that, and I can't argue that much with the fact that he's not played.
Yeah, and I still think Moragan would still get 300 plus snaps regardless if Brown were healthy, but I just at this point, I have a history that he has not been able to stay on the field, and it was a PRP injection he got. Whatever the injury is, like that's kind of nerve-wracking to me. So,
yeah, that's plasma-rich. I can't remember what the P
placement something.
Yeah, that's what the Google machine turned up when I looked up PRP. So that's, yeah, I mean, it's concerning. He also, Brett Bielema said the big concerning, said he's basically not been available in training camp. I mean, that is a ton of reps to not have on the football field in a scheme that, yes, he was available in the spring. We know he's very football smart. Like, I don't think he struggled in the class, but you want your Mike linebacker, a potential leader on your team in sacks, to have reps for the month leading up into the season. That's concerning, man.
All right. Give me another one for you, Joey.
Yeah. So this was what I was considering for the spiciest take. Jershon Newton has a passing, rushing, and receiving touchdown this season.
There it is.
You knew that. Did you know I had one?
You're in the chamber over there? I love it. Hey, the practice we saw, he was fantastic. We keep hearing his name. So toot toot, Jershon Newton. Joey's at the front of that one.
I don't care to not have Caden Hauser throwing the ball. Like, just broadly, I think I want him throwing the ball. If anyone on the team is, I want it to be him. I just can't shake the idea that Barry might have something for Jershon to throw a red zone pass to Caden Fagan and let that quarterback background shine, or just run it in. I mean, I think Hank Beatty, if I'm remembering right, on the one he threw, may have had an option just to run it in himself. So that play, Barry didn't forget that play exists, I wouldn't imagine. Probably a little too bold, to be honest with you, because when Jayshon Platt comes back, and it sounds like he will sometime in the next, let's say, month, on the generous end, how many snaps are reasonably going to be available? I don't know. But I think there's some gadgetness to him and creative ways to get him the football.
And Barry's going to run him, man. He's going to run those kind of plays, which is a lot of fun. And you have some guys that were high school quarterbacks, right? Like Jershon Newton threw for a lot of yards in high school. He was a better runner, but he threw for a lot of yards in high school. You have Caden Fagan, didn't throw it very much, but at least he's done it before. Christian Abney, too, is another guy that, like, if you run 13 personnel, you could have him in there with Jordan Anderson and Caden Fagan and do some interesting things, which tight ends are always kind of in the middle of it. So it'd be interesting.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by it. I think of all the – and this probably sleeping on Christian Abney a little bit. Newton was far and away the more accomplished quarterback.
Thrower.
Like, yeah. Thrower of the football as a quarterback in high school. Like, Fagan, tremendous athlete. In 1A school, you're playing quarterback, it's balls in your hands all the time, and there's not a lot of
– Arthur Lovington wasn't throwing the ball around that much, yeah.
No. So that – it's interesting to me. It's just interesting. It's kind of, remember when everyone thought Hank Beatty was a converted high school quarterback? Like, no, he was a receiver who happened to then play quarterback to get the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
He was a fine thrower of the football. But I think Newton probably was probably threw the ball better than Hank Beatty did in high school, if I'm thinking correctly.
I think Hank Beatty's motion delivery was better than Jershon's, but yeah. Jershon did throw it a lot more in high school. Yes, that's correct. All right, let's stick on the offense. I think this is pretty bold. I have Colin Dixon doubling his career receiving yardage this season and finishes top six in the Big Ten in receiving yards. He's currently at 812 receiving yards for his career, Joey. That's a lot of yards. Pat Bryant had 960 in his year, right? 54 catches. I think Colin Dixon tops that in receptions this year, probably because he has to. He's actually been on the field and developed a relationship with Caden Hauser. I think he's going to be Caden Hauser's most trusted guy. And I just trust him a little bit more than Hudson Clement, because Hudson Clement's dealt with some injuries, just hasn't been on the field as much. I think Clement's in for a big year too. But I think Colin Dixon has such a big year this year that he's going to enter next season at Illinois, and I think he plays in next season at Illinois, with a chance to finish top five in career receiving yardage at Illinois. He'd be a guy that's going to be, if he has 1,600 plus going into his final year, he's got a chance, obviously, to be 2,000 plus. There's not many guys in Illinois history that have done that.
I like that. At first, I thought you meant he's going to double his career receiving yards this year, and I thought, Jeremy, you missed a chance to give us your spiciest take for 1,600-yard receiver Colin Dixon. Yeah, I think he's the go-to guy.
Yeah.
And I say that, and Hudson Clement looked awesome, even though he was limited in the one practice that we saw. And he's a productive power four receiver. I like what Colin Dixon does on the football field. I think he's going to have a lot of receptions. I think he's going to turn those into yards after the catch. And if I could one up, y'all just put him in 1,000 yards.
There you go.
The Jayshon Platt injury concerns me in part, even though I don't think it's going to linger like 4 or 5 weeks. You're kind of in stat padding opportunities against UAB and Southern, where you can rack up 100, 150 receiving yards and get yourself, you know, a pretty good start to the season in the non-conference in terms of yardage. That might be, I might not love looking back at that one and saying that, because I think Clement is the wild card in there. But I believe in Colin Dixon. I think Caden Hauser believes in Colin Dixon. And that injury still being a thing without a relative timetable for Jayshon Platt at least has me interested.
I know you got a Braden Tribble hot take in you. Come on, bring it.
You can take me out of the Decatur Herald Review, but you can't take Macon County and the Decatur coverage area out of me. I think Braden Tribble is going to be the third leading receiver on this football team.
Yeah, I don't even know how bold that is at this point. Yeah, but yeah, like depending on Jayshon Platt's availability.
I would have kicked the tires on that 3 weeks ago, too. And in fact, I remember walking to the parking lot telling you a similar thing. I just am a big fan of Braden Tribble. And with Jayshon Platt missing some games, talking just building a head start, right? And some of those numbers, and beyond building a head start in numbers, you're building that in-game chemistry. I mean, I know Caden Hauser is high on Braden Tribble, but when you start seeing that production show up in games and live, well, it's just another layer of confidence that I think can be instilled in him. I choo-choo on the Braden Tribble hype train here, and I feel pretty – you're right. That might not be as bold as I wanted it to be, but it still feels pretty bold because Jayshon Platt is so explosive when he's healthy.
And let's just put that into context. Last year, their number three receiver, when they had Hank Beatty at 864 and Colin Dixon at 548, Hudson Clement was number three at 454, right? That's a big role on the team, even dating back to 2023. And I think the receiver room's kind of built more similar to that than 24 when it was Zachary and Pat. You had Isaiah Williams, 1,055, Casey Washington, 670, Pat Bryant, 560. I think your bold take should be Braden Tribble tops 500 receiving yards. I think there's the opportunity to do that. But it depends on Platt, right? Because if Platt gets on the field, I think all of that gets spread out a little bit more.
And I will also say, for me to top 500 receiving yards with Braden Tribble, and I just put Colin Dixon at 1,000, the math still has to map here somewhere.
Toot on this Illinois offense. That's what we're saying here. All right,
that is not hot. Like that is like the least bold prediction. Like this Illinois offense, one, they need it to be the strength, but all the pieces, as long as that offensive line gels, and I don't have a lot of concern there. This is what we call a tease, Jeremy. Go ahead.
No, you led me right into it.
Are you saying the name Joe Moore?
No. I am not going that far. We are not going Joe Moore Award. I think a team they play again, Iowa, has the chance to be a Joe Moore Award. Oregon might have the chance to do that. But let's see. Illinois, I should have the numbers on me. Illinois last year, that's the sacks they got themselves, not the sacks allowed. I should have this number, Joey, but I don't. All right, they were 111th in the country at 2.46 sacks allowed, or that was 32 sacks overall, but they were not very good. 109th overall, 2.46 sacks allowed per game. My bold would be they're down one a game this year, but I'm going to go 0.75. I think they're down 0.75 sacks per game, which over 12 games, 9, 10, right, in a season. I think they're down 9 or 10 in the season. And my biggest reason for that is Caden Hauser. Last year, he had the quickest time to throw in the country. ECU was 18th in sacks allowed last season. And that wasn't some awesome offensive line, but their quarterback got rid of the ball, made quick decisions. It's one of the big reasons Illinois loved him, and I think why Bart Miller and this Illinois offensive line are excited about Caden Hauser, because if there's one issue with Luke Altmyer, he held on to the ball too long. Like, just held on to it for too long, ran into some sacks. Now, he didn't get protected very well, especially in certain games against better opponents and a team like Duke and Indiana, but I think Caden Hauser really helps this offensive line, and I think this offensive line on the interior is going to be strong. I think they're not going to allow very much happening there. And then you're going to have some tight ends helping with those offensive tackles, especially I think Christian Martin in the early going. So I think the pass protection improves a lot, in part, in a large part, because of your quarterback.
Yeah, love it. Don't disagree. I also think the tackles, what we've seen out of them to this point, is I think they're probably a little further ahead as pass pro than being physical, like to the level that we've seen, like a Melvin Priestley would be that very high end of that. In the run game, like Christian Martin, I trust him right now as a pass pro a little bit more than going to be, you know, a mauler in the run game. So, yeah, and then Caden Hauser's the reason, the biggest reason to take that number a little bit lower there. Yes, Luke Allmyer didn't have a ton of flaws as a college quarterback, but he held onto the ball a little too long. I think he would probably tell you that. I mean, he's a smart guy. He knows that. And some of those sacks, offensive line got a lot of hell last year, right? I mean,
some of it
was justified. Yeah. But some of those sacks, quarterback got looked over a little bit in his responsibility and his role in those half.
I think PFF credited Luke for 11 of the 32. That was tied for the highest in the Big Ten. So, yeah, I mean, the numbers just bear it out. All right, how many more you got left, Joey? I got like two left.
I got one not really even that bold, but I think Caden Hauser finally breaks the Illinois quarterback draft streak.
Wow.
I think he gets drafted.
That's a bold one, Joey, because he's not on a lot of lists right now. Why are you going that way?
Yeah, the system is designed and there's proof that there's going to be Caden Hauser's going to have the opportunity to put up numbers. He's a bigger guy. Like you start thinking of what the NFL looks for, the ones who, you know, quarterbacks who look big, look pretty. The stats will be there. I think it's time to release football. All of those things just play into, once you start getting into that sixth, seventh round, why would you not want a productive Big Ten passer who maybe fits your physical prototypes a little bit more than Luke Altmyer did? I think Luke Altmyer should have been drafted. I mean, I understand he's on the practice squad. He had an incredible case to finally be drafted. He didn't go to Mississippi, Jeremy, on a whim. Like, there was a real case to draft him. I just think Hauser can kind of be that next in line. If we're sitting here talking about how high we are on this Illinois offense and on Caden Hauser, those are kind of the ingredients to be drafted, are they not?
No, I think he's got a chance. And in a world where Ethan Kelly-McManus gets drafted, I think the guy that I've compared to him should get drafted too. And I think Hauser actually gets rid of the ball quicker than Ethan Kelly-McManus and probably a little more accurate. So I don't think it's wild if he has a good year to be in that day three conversation. And one of the things I think the NFL will like about him over Luke is the size, right? Like, there's just an NFL size to Caden Hauser, that Luke is a smaller quarterback when you line him up against NFL quarterbacks. Like, if you met Luke in person, would you think he's a Big Ten quarterback? Like, he's just kind of a normal looking dude build wise. Caden Hauser looks like a prototypical Big Ten quarterback.
Yeah, it's in that position in that league. A lot of teams kind of hunker down on certain measurables at quarterback position in particular. I think he's got a good arm too. Obviously, we know he's got a quick release, but he's got a pretty big arm. Like, those things are boxes that you just check. And now it's, hey, come up to the Big Ten, put up the numbers in a system that should allow you to have success with skill players around you to allow you to do that. And the way it sounds like he's taken to the system, yeah. I mean, it kind of feels like it's a layup for me.
All right, I got one small one and one big one that I think explains my season prediction. Ethan Machowski, feel good. Now he's the starting kicker about this one. He hits a 60-yard field goal, the first in Illinois history, breaking his own record of 59 yards set 2 years ago. I think Brett's going to give I think Brett's going to give him a chance in one of these early games.
I don't disagree with that. And it's probably going to be a second half type situation where, you know, you feel pretty comfortable about where you're at. I would say it's either UAB or Southern.
Yeah. Warm game, ball can fly, right? Just like in baseball.
I think that also depends on how his defense is playing, though, because the last thing Brett's going to want to do is that risk a miss here, and now you got your defense playing on a short field. I mean, I think any chance he wouldn't get to do it is more about, not about his leg strength, but Brett's just fear of putting his defense in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Especially early when you want to build some momentum.
I think Brett cares about these things. I think he's going to give him a chance. Be the first guy to get 60 yards. I think he cares. All right, my last one, Joey.
Got the big TV blocking the wind, too.
Yeah.
A lot of things. A lot of things with this TV.
Hey, that's actually a really interesting storyline, especially come November.
It's a fascinating storyline. Yeah.
But the wind isn't great in September, so it's a good time to do it. So I think September is the time to do it. All right, my big one. Illinois will lose more one-score games than they win. It just feels like this is going to swing back, right? They went 8-1 in one-score games the last two seasons. In Bielema's first three seasons, it was actually pretty good, Joey, because they were in a lot of one-score games, but they were 9-11 in those one-score games. So credit to Luke Altmaier, credit to Barry Loney, credit to David Alano for some of those. I just think the scales tip because your quarterback is new. We still got to see him perform there. Your run defense has questions. Your kicker and punter are big question marks too. I don't see 8-1 as sustainable, and that's why I think winning 8 or 9 games is really hard to do, and Illinois has done it with these really small margins and close games, and that's why I think we should really not overlook how special this team was the last 2 years, but with so much inexperience, how much of that carries over? I'm not sure.
Yeah, and especially with the new special teams operation. Like, that's where the special teams, when you're talking in the margins, that's where you got to circle, right? I mean, because it's a thing that can swing Michigan State in 2022, Tennessee bowl game, right? Like, special teams, different outcomes in both of those games. It's a concern. It's at least a question mark at best for this team is special teams, and I think that's going to have as big of an imprint on one-score games as any non-quarterback position.
All right, Joe, before we get out of here, we got a few comments from our live YouTube audience. David, a freshman running back over under 300 rushing yards for the season. So does a freshman go over 300 yards? I would say under, but if there's an injury, I think a guy like Javari Barnett will get carries, but I think there has to be a catastrophic injury for that to happen.
Yeah, I don't think a healthy team, I don't know that the opportunity presents itself for that. Can't say I have 800 and 700 for your top two and then find 300 for a freshman. I got to be at least consistent here.
All right, what if I said over under 300 for Jordan Anderson?
As a known Jordan Anderson believer, yeah. That's a very tough one. I think I'm going to go under just because I have such high numbers on the top two. Like, still are going to throw the ball around with a lot of success, so either that's a ton of yards as an offense – or something's got to give a little bit.
Yeah, he'd have to get 75-plus carries, I think, for that to happen. And I think he'd have to have a big game here early, right, against either UAB or against Southern Illinois. Let's go double A cards. Bold prediction. Matt Bailey scores 2 defensive touchdowns, a pick 6, and a scoop and score. We continue the Sidney Brown kind of comp here, if that happens.
Yeah, that's finally the one that's like, yep, this has been right all along. 2's a lot. 1 you could see. I mean, how many defensive touchdowns, Jeremy, do you think for Illinois?
That's a good question. And Diallo asks, who has more touchdowns between Fagan and the Illini defense?
Oh, well, I still think it's Fagan.
I do too.
Because I just picked 6 for him. But I think the Illinois, if I set the over-under at 2.5, what do you do?
Over. Secondary's got playmakers, man. You got Xavier Scott, Matthew Bailey. I think Matt Krasetich probably has the best chance of doing it. And I think it's time for Juice Clark to get has he had a career interception yet? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so I think it'd be time.
I remember I also asked Nate Hobbs about that, and he did, and he let me know the fact that he did. So I don't want to misquote that. I think I would take over under 2.5. I would not take 3.5.
I agree with that.
Over.
That's a lot of defensive touchdowns. And no, Juice Clark does not have a career interception yet. That's his next step. It's kind of
the next step for kind of the secondary, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, before we get out of here, do you want to talk about the news? We expected this, but Illinois announced a 7-year contract extension with Nike to be their apparel dealer here, sports equipment. So not a big surprise here, Joey. I never thought that Illinois and Nike were going to separate. This has been a long, long time. 30 years they've had a contract with each other. I think it's just part of the Illinois brand that they've been a part of Nike. I think it's a strength of theirs. So they'll continue to supply the gear, uniform, shoes, and equipment through June 30th, 3. So not a surprise here, but I think it's a good one. I think it's a brand and a deal that is, and a partnership that's made a lot of sense and done well for both sides.
Yeah, it would have been a flat-out stunner if it wasn't Nike. I mean, that would have been huge, huge news. Makes sense. I think it's probably been pretty close to done, if not done for a little bit now. Yeah, been around for a while. Keep it going. This was also surprisingly an off-season conversation or topic that a lot of people asked us about. There was a lot of interest in the Nike deal, and I never thought it was going to go the other way.
Yeah, like I've just reading like front office sports and stuff like that. Like I know that Nike as a business is not like skyrocketing like it was for all those years. Like it has a lot of competition, but I still think it's a powerful brand and a meaningful brand in sports especially. And switching to another one, like I know Adidas is a big deal, but obviously Under Armour's falling off and all of that. I just think it made sense to stay with the stable one, the one you've had the relationship with the long time, and one that seemingly has made pretty good gear for Illinois through the years.
Yep, I'm with you on all of that. Can I throw one thing on you real quick, just because this comment got me? Can we each pick one offensive, one defensive breakout player before we go? I think we've probably done this, but just not our sign guy, just breakout player offense, breakout player defense.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I mean, I've stuck on the Trimble train, so I'm going to take him.
I feel like we've done this. I think mine's Caden Fagan, just in a different role. I don't know if he counts as a breakout, but like I think he's the guy. I also think I've put out Micah Madelel many, many times. I think he's going to be very, very good.
Are you taking Maragan defensively?
I should after what I just said, but I still feel like I feel like Makrasetic is a guy I feel really positive about going into the year.
Yeah. I will take Pat Farrell defensively. Kind of feels like his time, been in the rotation a long time. Now it's time to go be a playmaker.
Yeah, that's my I don't know how much of a playmaker Pat Farrell will be, but I think you need some blue collar lunch pail guys. Pat Farrell's going to give you that. I have no questions about that.
Yeah, I'll take a little playmaker too. Right. He might be in my my trio of five sack guys. Plus sack.
Wow, I like it. I like it. All right, we appreciate you guys listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. If you're watching live on our YouTube channel, we appreciate you guys. Hit the like button, subscribe, and hit the notifications bell before you get out of here. Don't forget, go to Game Day Spirit. Use coupon code GAMEDAY15 to save 15% off your newest Illini gear. And be on the lookout. Free VIP day on Wednesday. And then Thursday, we start our 75% off sale at IlliniInquirer.com. But for Joey Wagner, I'm Jeremy Warner. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.